All right. Hello and welcome to a special chat of Game Chat, where we are all going to talk about our top five games that we've played so far with Game Chat. And you don't necessarily, or the people joining in have mostly joined later on or have been part of Game Chat in the beginning and kind of got too busy to join us for future chats. But basically, we opened it up to be, what are the games that either you've played or with Game Chat or that Game Chat has played that you have also played? Mm-hmm. So that's that. And for the introductions this week, we are going to talk about what our favorite dog moment is in any of the games that we've played so far.
Mm-hmm.
So as per normal, let's go with the top and start with Franco.
I would have, now that we've just talked about it and mentioned it, the dog from Valiant Hearts. He was by far the best dog, I think.
Good. Great.
All right, Jonathan, up to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in a pickle because out of the games we've played, all the dogs have attacked me. But I'm going to... Favorite dog attack. I guess I would say A Way Out, because if you're good, the dogs don't get hurt.
Yeah.
But like, no, in Beyond Two Souls, like you hurt those dogs. So
yeah.
I'll go with the dog chase scene from A Way Out, because they're doing their jobs. They're probably good boys. You're just bad guys, sure, running away. They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. There we go. Problem
That's
solved.
Good. That's good. Good job, Jonathan. That's great. And next.
So my favorite dog is Bigby Wolf in A Wolf.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Look at you. And that voice, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone's listening, that was Joe Monzo.
Hi.
He was with us in the beginning for a few.
I was a staple. And
yeah, you were. Yeah, for a while.
And then he left and became a voice on a game.
Oh yeah, yeah, a game that we're going to be talking about this in 2019.
Bum bum bum. Hopefully, I'll have played it by the time that rolls around.
Full circle, Monzo. Full circle.
Full circle.
It's amazing. All right, next.
I'm Kevin, and I don't know. Does Greg count as a dog, or is he too much of a fox?
He wasn't in any of the games that we played.
Are you talking about Greg the fox?
Greg, not Craig.
Yeah. Night Before Christmas. No.
Night in the Woods.
Night in the Woods. There you go.
But if you want to go strictly to dogs, then
I mean,
he's a canine.
The fun conversations with Miss Rosa in Night in the Woods. She was a fun.
Okay. Guy. Yeah. 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 No, I would say the Greg counts too. I would go. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, sure. This is Chris, and my favorite dog was the dog in Valiant Hearts. But then there's also the window dog in Night in the Woods.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
True.
Would pop up when you were jumping on the power lines and everything.
Oh yes. True. Yes, the window dog that was like bah, 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 bah.
Which was just really weird how there's a pet dog. There's a pet dog in the game. But then there's actual like people dogs.
Well, it's kind of like that kind of happens in like the Muppets and stuff too. Like you have like these talking like
and
characteristic animals and then
Goofy and Pluto.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Mickey and Pluto. I mean, yeah, but Goofy and Pluto too.
Well,
yeah.
Goofy's a dog.
Yeah,
Pluto's a dog.
You have a point. You have a point. My name is Steph, and I mean, Valiant Hearts has already been said twice, and I could say it again. But my second choice was the corgis in Valhalla, because they were just really funny. How they all just kind of showed up, and they had a crazy night at the bar. And wore sunglasses and like I think Hawaiian shirts, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. I'm not sure I'd want one because I'm not sure I'd want my dog like going to the bar and having a crazy night out. But
very up all night worrying about where they are.
Exactly. Have them like stagger in at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't think that's that's okay.
You're sitting, only responsible dogs chair. For you.
It's you're fun to watch.
In the chair and turn the lamp on when they walk through the door.
But, yeah.
But these dogs were responsible business.
Well, yeah, for sure, but...
Yeah, but they made a mess in the bathroom.
They were kind of wild. Oh, okay, moving on.
All right. So, as I said in the beginning of this chat, this is kind of a special Christmas present to everyone that has listened to these chats in the past. And basically, I put a poll out to the group... Mm-hmm. with everyone to pick out their top five. And so we're going to go through, have everyone talk about what their top five games are, why they picked them, if they choose to do so. There are three people that couldn't make it. There's Chris Bowden, who pre-recorded his picks. There's Chris Clark, who is another one of the kind of founding members of Game Chat. He just kind of dropped off the face of the earth, but his job keeps him really busy, so I'm not too surprised. And then unfortunately Madeline couldn't make it tonight, but she did pre-record something as well, so we'll be playing those. The order that we're going through is basically the order of who answered the or who put in their votes first, from first to last there. That was just the easiest way I could break it up. And then between every other person, I'm going to announce the overall game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this was kind of hard to do because I was going to just go with what the top game was in each category. But the problem with that was there were some games that were in two or three different levels, and it just kind of felt a little weird to do it that way. Yeah. So I just tallied all of the votes and picked it that way. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is fifth place, there's seven games that are in the fifth spot. fourth, I think, is three. Third is a two-way tie. And then second and first are clear winners at that point. But anyway, so starting off, I will go first with the top five that I picked. And starting at number five, I picked A Way Out.
I
picked this game because it was some of the most fun I've ever had in recent memory of a game. Mm. And it was nice, too, because it was a co-op game that you didn't have to be in the same room,
mm-hmm.
which I tend to find have trouble just getting people to come
mm-hmm.
or just to meet in one spot to play games or want to play a different type of game, because a lot of my friends just want to do Jackbox or mm-hmm. you know, the party type of games.
Yeah.
So this was nice because, you know, I could play with someone else through the internet, communicate with them as well through the chat, play it. And, you know, there are issues with the game, but I had a lot of fun playing it with
mm-hmm.
My number four spot is Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone kind of enjoyed this game. The story was great. And it, you know, it really had the decisions that you had to make kind of weighed on me, and just the overall story was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Night in the Woods is my third pick for number three. I don't know. This game was just really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the writing, the interactions with everyone, the art style and everything. It was just, I had a lot of fun with this game.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Oxenfree.
Good.
Yeah. It's one of those games where it seems like it's going to be like a scary horror game, and there are mm-hmm. some aspects of it, mm-hmm. but it's just enough like fright and suspense and everything
mm-hmm.
that kept me wanting to come back and not turn the game off altogether, because I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the fact that you have to like turn the radio to dial in on a frequency and just, you know, the interactions with the characters as well. Really enjoyed that. Before I do my number one, I do have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
And that was Firewatch and What Remains of Edith Finch.
Mm-hmm.
Both are kind of walking simulator games.
Mm-hmm.
Firewatch was just like, I don't know, it was just so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you're not quite sure what's going on. And then when you finally figure out like what happened and the weight of it all, it just kind of really ties it all together and you know, really makes you feel there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then What Remains of Edith Finch was just a fantastic game with the, you know, because it wasn't just a walking simulator. There was also some genres thrown in a bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just the storytelling in that was fantastic. The art and everything was amazing. So my number one, and this is probably going to shock everyone because they're probably going to think that I'm picking Grim Fandango. And I'm not. So I mean, yeah, Grim Fandango still is my number one game of all time that I've played. But I kind of wanted to keep that out and go with the game that like we played that had kind of another emotional impact for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was Valiant Hearts. Mm-hmm. It was just the way they told the story and the way it made you feel the weight of the weight of war, basically, and the issues and the troubles and the emotions that, you know, these soldiers faced during World War One, was it, or two? I think it was World War One. Okay. It's just you know, it really kind of made it, I don't want to say real, but just really brought the raw emotion that you get from there. Mm-hmm. Plus the dog was just absolutely fantastic. And, and one of like the most emotionally attaching thing for the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's nice. My top five.
Nice.
And next we have Jonathan, I think. Yes.
Yes.
Go, Jonathan, go.
Okay. I guess it's coming at just number five for me. I put Beyond Two Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, it was my first David Cage game like that. It's like I've heard about him for ages, but this is the first one I've played.
Yeah.
And while at times the controls made me want to like hurt somebody, I found this way the story was told, and just like I thought it was going to be just a simple story about, you know, Ellen Page doing things, but then but then the fact that I was like, oh, there's like this weird ghost thing attached to her, and there's this whole like other element to the game, and it's like the way it was, the timeline was like chopped up, like I just loved that storytelling, and then just moments at the end, just like I was just like, whoa, this is intense. And so I really enjoyed it, but like I said, it's number five. It's not my number one. And number four is for me is A Way Out. Like Chris said, like it was so much fun. It was such a fun experience. Just for me, I played with a coworker, and like we didn't even voice chat while we were playing, because he had kids who were sleeping and everything, and but to me that added so much more to the experience, because then it was like we were our characters, because it's like when we weren't next to each other, when our characters weren't talking, we couldn't. It's like we had to figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
And I just loved that style of storytelling, just how it's split screen the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, unless you're playing like on a couch co-op, it's like you don't see split screen anymore. And right. the fact that yeah. it's like you could only play this game in split screen, and like sometimes the character would go in cutscenes, but you wouldn't be, or vice versa. And it blew my mind. And I really hope they like turn that into a genre of games that, like, I would love to play like a horror game with that style with somebody, or even like a mystery, you know, just like, you know, they had the Prison Break, and now it's like, I want all the genres of film told in this, you know, I want a sci-fi, I want a romance, I want all of it, you know? And, so that was number four. My number three is, Papers, Please. I got that game in a Humble Bundle years ago when it came out, and I played it a little bit, and then I never looked back at it. And then we played it for Game Chat. I was like, okay, I'm going to get back into it. And I remember just like, oh, I love how it's like, it looks MS-DOS, you know, it's like, oh, it's evoking memories. But then just the title music, but you know, like I loved it. And then as you play, it's like there's like a level of stress, which I normally hate games that like force stress on you, but then it's just like all of a sudden it's like you're not playing a game, it's like, oh, these are people, are you gonna ruin their lives, are you gonna let them in, are you gonna let them in, if you let them in, are they gonna blow up something, are they terrorists, are they, you know, do you trust this strange guy named Georgie who keeps coming up, and he's like super nice. And it's like, I want to like you, but do I trust you? And then it's like, oh, and then he's like my favorite character in any video game. You know? Yeah. So yeah. I just, the more I think about it, the more, and then also just that they made that short film that was just amazing too, that went along with it.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to play, Return of the Overdin, just from the same creator. Just, I can't wait. Number two, which I'll be honest, I've had to think hard to remember why I put it at number two, but it's What Remains of Edith Finch. Just cause I didn't play it with Game Chat, but I think I just remember it was one of those games I heard about a lot. And so I decided to get it one day. It was on sale, and I just spent a night playing it, and it was just, I found it so interesting because it was like more involved than your average walking simulator, in that like you were like seeing these vignettes, that word, you know, just little bits of everyone's life in this family, and how a lot of the stories, it's like they're told very like childlike, innocent, or fun, and it's like, but they're dealing with like some tragic stuff, like the death of a child, death of a brother, death of a father, and yet there's still this like thing of whimsy about it that I just loved. And then just seeing how each room is like preserved, it like it makes me wonder, like, you know, like, what if someone like preserved my room, if I were to die and someone just preserved my room, it's like that's like, what would my room tell about me? You know, what it's like, it's just such an interesting thing to think about. And just, it's just, it made me want to like want someone to build that house in real life and just have me explore it. And it was one of those games, as soon as I played through it, like instantly I went in there and I'm like, I'm going to like get every achievement in this game and find every room. And it's just a lot of fun. Now, honorable mentions. These two probably would have made it on my top five list, but I kind of wanted to try to like keep some games I actually played with Game Chat in the list rather than just games I had played. And so in my honorable mentions are Life is Strange and Oxenfree. I mean, I'm sure all of us can gush for hours about these games.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so it's like, and like I said, if I had played them with game chat, if I could go back in time and play them with game chat, they would most likely be on my top five. But yeah, just it. What more can we say about them? But so for my number one, I am putting Firewatch, just because, I mean, like Chris said, it's so good. But I'm trying to think, and I think Firewatch was my first walking sim game before I even knew they were called walking sims. Mm-hmm. I remember I saw like a minute of a YouTuber play through it, and I just the art style, and it was in the woods. I was like, nope, I'm buying it, you know. Yeah. And I'm a console gamer, but I was like, I don't care. I'm going to get it on my PC because it wasn't out on console yet. And I was just like, I don't care. I'm getting it and I'm playing it. And it amazed me how much it just made me want to just like go camping and just like, mm-hmm. like, I think I even looked up of like, are Firewatch people still a thing? Can I do this like for a job?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's also, I live in Georgia. It's like, we don't get too many fires. But
there's still time.
But I mean, yeah. but
thing to say.
anyways, but just like I love just how like it was like just the right amount of like kind of cartoony, but just, and then just the orange fall autumn colors. It just like, and the sound, everything about it just made me want to like,
mm-hmm.
just be there. And I remember like the mystery, like I remember like the way they talked about the mystery and stuff. I was like thinking with the characters, and I was thinking like, oh my gosh, there's some giant sci-fi like thing going on, you know? And then it's like, when you find out what's really going on, then you're just like, oh my gosh, this is such a just human story.
Yeah.
You know, and then just how, you know, you grow close to you know, the other Firewatch person and the other tower. It's like, you don't ever see her, but it's like, she's your only contact, your only mm-hmm. friend. And it's just like, you grow close, and it's just like, it's almost kind of like, you know, my relationship with you guys, and that like, none of us have actually met, like I haven't met any of you guys, but we're just talking over our Firewatch walkie talkies, you know, mm-hmm. talking about stuff. And that's, yeah, that's Firewatch is my number one game.
All right. Awesome. All right.
So the overall top five or top fifth games are in no particular order here. A Way Out, Valiant Hearts, Undertale, The Stanley Parable, Telltale The Walking Dead Season 1, Oxenfree, and Franbo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So all of these games each got 2 votes.
So, wow. So pretty much like, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, all right. Let me see if I can get this to work so that you can all hear it. But these are Chris Bowden's top picks. And if you cannot hear this, then I'll just put it in the recording and you'll have to listen to it then.
Even though I was with Game Chat for about a year, it was pretty easy to come up with my top five, because these five, I think, are some of the best games, not only we played with Game Chat, but some of the best games that I've ever played in my life. I was new to the world of Steam, and I hadn't played a lot of PC games. And so this kind of gave me the chance to explore that, some of these, you know, lesser known indie titles. Undertale was my number five choice. That game was just so incredible. It kind of came out of nowhere. It was like this overnight sensation of a game where, you know, you play it for the first time, you don't really know what to expect. And there's like an element of moral choice in the game. and just a really unique take on the genre, this like 8-bit old school text-based almost role-playing game. And I don't recall finishing the game, but the good chunk that I did play was just really intriguing, and I really am looking forward to getting back into that at some point. My number four choice was Firewatch, and Firewatch was a game that when it first was advertised, I was really excited about. And when I found out it was kind of a walking simulator, I was less excited. But when I played it, I really enjoyed it. It just had this really beautiful sort of atmosphere where you were immersed into this world. And the fact that you didn't really know much about what was going on was what made that game so great. You know, there was no action, really. There was just a lot of mystery. And it almost reminded me of the show Lost, where you're just in this place and there's some kind of intriguing things going on. You don't know if people are really telling you the full story, and there's not much going on, but for some reason you're able to, it holds your attention and you want to keep playing, even though you're not fighting anything. You're not really trying to, you know, accomplish anything specific, but you're in this beautiful world, and that just the atmosphere and the artwork and the graphics alone are just so appealing for Firewatch that definitely had to make my list. My number three choice was Franbo. Franbo was a game I think I picked for that month. And I'd always liked these point and click, you know, gritty adventures. I don't think I knew much about Franbo. I think I saw a couple screenshots of it and I was like, that's a game I'm going to love. And when we played it, I think most of the team enjoyed it. It was just, I mean, the art style is a huge draw for me, no pun intended. But I also really enjoyed this concept mechanic where you can kind of jump in and out of this horror world by taking these pills and seeing, you know, people and things for what they really are. I just thought that that was a really dark and kind of really meaningful experience where you get to see the rawness of humanity and kind of, I don't know, solving puzzles in that way was just so unique and so fun. There were many times I was stumped. I don't know if I actually ended up looking up walkthroughs online. I might have once or twice because some of those puzzles were a little obscure. But I just thought that Franbo was such an amazing game, and I loved how it wasn't afraid to kind of hit upon some of those more darker, more realistic moments of, you know, the rawness of the human condition. My number two choice was Oxenfree. Oxenfree was a freaking masterpiece. That game would just blew me away. I felt like I was in the middle of Stranger Things meets E.T. meets Super 8, you know, those 80s sci-fi retro feel kind of shows. I just love that theme. The voice acting was absolutely incredible. This mechanic where you are listening to the radio and kind of tuning in to hear the story, like it builds the story through these radio signals. Just so much, you know, was packed into one game. And at points, it was actually even kind of scary where, if I'm not mistaken, there were moments where like your teammates could get possessed by this alien entity. And that was really unsettling. I just loved Oxenfree. It was a masterpiece. I couldn't put it down. And I just remember feeling like I was, you know, just completely immersed in this world. The characters were very real to me. They were so believable and they were so lovable. I haven't played a game like that since. And now that it's been released on consoles and whatnot, I can't wait to pick it up for like the Nintendo Switch or something to give it another run through. Because if I'm not mistaken, there were multiple endings. But I just thought that that game was set apart from most indie games, and it's actually done quite well. I see more and more people playing Oxenfree, and I always have a chance to talk to them about it and tell them how amazing that game actually is. My final number one choice for games that I played during Game Chat was a no-brainer. To the Moon takes easily my number one slot. I've never played a game like To the Moon, and I probably never will. I didn't actually get a chance to play the DLC for that. I know there was one, but I don't think I've ever had a video game bring me to tears or close to tears. I don't think I actually cried, but that game, if you haven't played To the Moon, you really need to. You need to just set aside a couple of days. It's not a very long game. The whole game, I believe, was built in RPG Maker with a programmer who actually knew, you know, how to do actual programming, so he expanded upon you know, the elements in RPG Maker, but there's no combat or anything. There's some puzzles, but the game really is just the story. And for some reason, you are gripped. The story is so well written. There's no voice acting or anything. It's all just text, and it's an emotional roller coaster. You know, it follows this guy who's married to a girl who, in the game, they say, you know, she has Asperger's. And it's about her journey on learning how to communicate and this whole idea of his last memory, because it's kind of like a sci-fi twist. So you guys know who you have played this, where these like memory engineers want to create the memory that this guy has gone to the moon. But as they travel through his memory, they see his wife and the struggles that they had. It just faces some very real kind of intimate moments with this man and his wife dealing with, you know, this family and children, and even when he's a kid in school. I mean, there's just so many things that they cover in this game. It has, I mean, I remember laughing out loud at certain points. This game, the comedy in it was just spot on. The comedic timing was so great. The emotional, I was just so intrigued to find out more about his wife and about him, and just the lessons that she teaches him through her disability and through him loving her. It's just this really powerful story that I've never seen in a video game before, ever. I mean, there's some great games out there that really hit an emotional nerve, but To the Moon just completely takes the cake, and I tell everyone to play it. I think it was only like $10. It'll be the best $10 you ever spend. If you haven't played To the Moon, you are really missing out. Go and get it. Thanks so much for letting me be a part of this Game Chat reunion. I miss Game Chat. I love that it's still going on. Thank you, Steph, for all your hard work and everybody else who's been involved with making it look and feel like a real thing. It's so nice to see something that I helped conceptualize still be going strong and have a new sort of brand look to it. So great, great job, you guys. And I miss you guys, Franco and Monzo and Clark, all you guys that I used to chat with. So thanks for letting me be a part of this, and I hope to join you on one of these games one of these days. So I'll see you all soon.
All right. So that was Bowden's top five. And I will note with what he was mentioning at the end, he didn't realize that we have like an actual site up now. Mm-hmm. So, and he was over this past weekend and saw the site and was all impressed and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
So that's what he was talking about there.
Nice.
For Chris Clark, who unfortunately couldn't make it here tonight and couldn't record something, I will just quickly go through his top five. Starting at the fifth, he has The Stanley Parable. For the fourth, Night in the Woods. Third, Firewatch. Second, Life is Strange. And first, To the Moon.
Nice. And Chris Clark was another original member for those lists.
One of the OGs. Yeah. So for the fourth overall game, and this game got three. So there's three votes here, or three games here, and they each got three votes apiece. And again, in no particular order, we have Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, Firewatch, and yeah, actually
just two.
Oh, you know what, I miscounted there. So A Way Out was actually in the top four, not the top five.
Okay,
all right. So cool. I don't know how I managed that, but yeah, so that's it. So actually fifth place was six games and fourth place was three.
Awesome.
And next up is Steph.
Okay. So, my top five, my number fifth in the fifth position is, and I'll preface this by saying that, like, I have trouble picking personal favorites. So I picked these with the thought in mind of either if they were extremely memorable to me or if it was a memorable chat with the game, with all the game chat peeps. So I kind of kept that in mind as I was picking these. Number five is where the water tastes like wine. This was probably more personal because I was surprised at how much I like this. And also, I think that it also sparked a lot of conversation with us and with the group. And it was a game about stories, and it gave us a lot of content to talk about without it being like your typical, like, you know, telltale, like, you know, this week we talk about everything we did in chapter one. This week we talk about everything we did in chapter two. But it gave us this game filled with all kinds of stories and experiences about American history and just these weird stories. And it's probably, I mean, it's a very memorable game for myself just because I didn't realize how much that I would like it. And I remember just like sitting down. And I think we played this last or this past year, earlier this year, I think. Because it didn't come out till this year. I remember just like sitting down and playing it for like 7-8 hours on a Saturday. And not feeling like, because sometimes like if I'm behind on a game, I'll do that. Like if it's one of our month chats. But I remember like I didn't find it tedious or tiring. Like I was enjoying my entire time sitting there just playing this game. So that says a lot for it. But I just really enjoyed just how it was a game about just quilting these stories together into this bigger narrative. And just it was about getting to know people and listening to people. And that's gold to me. Number four was Valiant Hearts. And I think just because, like, I mean, it's an amazing game, very emotional. I think that everyone that played it, if I remember correctly, like during that chat, it was early on, but everyone that played it, like they were kind of surprised at how much they liked it. Yeah. Just because you go into it and it's this kind of cartoony flash like game, and it doesn't look like much when you first pick it up, but then like I just remember like just being emotionally torn apart while playing it, while also like just loving every second of it. Like it was just a fun, it had an adventure in it. It was great storytelling. The visuals were really cool. You know, and it was emotional, and I think it just kind of blew us all away.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second there?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember with this game that Chris Clark had picked it, and I remember talking to Bowden later on, and I think he was saying that he had a conversation with you about how, like, it had come up between the two of you on a game to play. And Bowden was like, no, this doesn't look like a good game at all. And he just wasn't interested in playing the game. And then Clark picked it, and it was like almost like one of the best games that we played.
Yeah, for sure. And that, like, you know, because like for those listening, like that first year of Game Chat, it was me and Chris Bowden kind of picking the games. And I think that we also kind of let the other regulars choose as well every so often. But me and Chris would often discuss games about like which ones we wanted to put in. And I think I remember that happening, but it's cool. Number three was A Way Out. Again, it was kind of one of those games where I didn't expect to like it as much, or just I didn't expect to have as much fun as I did playing it. And then I think, and again, like, because, you know, it was in Chris Stanton's list as well. And Jonathan's list as well. Right, Jonathan? Or did I dream that?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that we were all just kind of like, we all had fun. Like we all had fun playing it with our friends and, you know, or with our coworkers who are friends. And it was just such a neat experience that I wasn't expecting. And it just, it does such a good way of like, kind of forcing you. I mean, you kind of know that it's a co-op situation. So you invite this person along. You're like, hey, this is a co-op game, but it does co-op in a way that I'm not sure I've ever really seen before. Like, because it weaves the co-op in with the story instead of making it just a gameplay mechanic. And I think that's just brilliant. And it was a well-told story by the same creator who did that did Brothers. That's all I have. But it was excellent game, excellent experience. Number two is Life is Strange. I mean, I love this game, but also just because. Not just because, but one of the factors was that it was our first game in Game Chat, and it was just a magical experience. And I just love that it just kicked this entire thing off, as well as being a great game. Because I think that it hadn't been out too long when we picked it up, when we started playing it, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think episode 5 was released.
Yeah, so we were playing it kind of like in the midst of when it was picking up steam and people were kind of catching on. And it was just really cool. It was a really cool experience. It's a wonderful game. Again, great storytelling, great narrative. I mean, obviously, great characters in it. Highly recommended. Number one. Well, I'll say my honorable mentions that I actually added now. As I was listening to everyone, because I was like, oh yeah, that was a really good one. And other people have honorable mentions. So honorable mentions is Night in the Woods, just because, again, I kind of played that not expecting how much I would like it. And great narrative and great story. And when it was mentioned a little bit ago, I was like, why isn't that in my top five? And but anyway, so great game. Highly recommend it. Probably like the best game that I played in 2017. And then my second honorable mention is Papers, Please. I think because I just remember us having some really good conversations coming out of that game. I can remember in 2018, one of our kind of more deeper conversations. Because I think it brought up a lot of issues and we were in that we talked about during the chat, as well as fun moments and like, kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And so it was just a really good conversation starter and a really amazing game. And my number one game, nobody's probably surprised, but To the Moon is number one. I mean, I'm kind of repeating what other people have said, but like, it was just a crazy experience. Like, I remember, like, because we played it our first year of Game Chat, and it was just so crazy, like, to think back, and I would never forget it. I don't think I will ever forget, like, that chat about it, is that, like, people were like, I think we broke up into two parts, but especially, like, the second chat when we got to the end, and we had like myself and like four or five guys, and all of us were like, yeah, we totally sobbed. We totally cried. It was a great conversation and probably and it brought up a lot of deep conversations with us and just an amazing game. And for me, it was totally unexpected because I honestly went into that. 'Cause that was the first kind of like, sprite game that I had played for, you know, since I was younger. And I kind of came into a kind of judgmental of like, oh, well, you know, it looks like, you know, someone made it in, oh, they did make it in RPG Maker. I don't know. Like this, sure, whatever. But like, oh my gosh, like I probably cried more than anyone. But like the entire second half of that game, I think I was just sobbing and just, and I don't think I've ever cried as much during a game, and just crying just because it was just such a moving experience, storytelling wise. So yeah, number one, and I am done.
Yeah, it's a shame with To the Moon because the first part, I think I was having computer issues, so the first part of that chat didn't get recorded, but the second half did. So yeah. Although, you know, and the weird thing is I had more of an emotional response to the second To the Moon than the first one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. I was like, I don't know why everyone's crying over this. All right. So next up is Madeline. But since she can't be here, she recorded something and sent it to me today. So we will go ahead and play that now.
Hey chatters, it's Madeline. I'm sorry I can't be here tonight with you, but I sent in my top 5 picks so that you could tell me why I'm wrong. My favorite dog moment was actually right before I started chatting with Game Chat. This would be the Donut Wolf, the donut shop in Night in the Woods that had donuts so amazing they were basically psychotropic. My number 5 game is Detention. I really love this game because it told us a story that we don't get very often. It's a story not about solving problems and making stuff better. It's about accepting that you were wrong and that you messed up and that somehow you have to move forward. That really spoke to me, and I really appreciate that that's the direction they took that story. My number 4 game is Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. This was definitely a dividing point within the chat. But I loved having tiny pockets of stories everywhere you went in this game. And I enjoyed having the boring plotting across the map parts to kind of reflect on the stories and see the commonalities between them. My number 3 game is Rakuen. This game made me cry more than any other game had ever at that point. And the story, the way it continually emphasized helping other people, serving others, thinking about what other people want or need, even in the midst of your character's own personal end-of-life journey, was just incredible. My number 2 is Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 1. This was the first game I played with Game Chat, and more than just what the game itself said to me, I completely fell in love with the format of Game Chat. Because of this game. With the Telltale format and with the Game Chat format, the two seem perfectly married to each other to promote discussion, to promote argument, but also to bring people together to talk about how they feel about topics, to disagree and to explain, to open each other's minds to new ideas and new viewpoints. And so more than anything the game itself said, which don't get me wrong, I still love the story, this game really sold me on Game Chat. So that's how it got to be my number 2. My number 1 game that Game Chat has played is Night in the Woods. I actually didn't get to play this with Game Chat, but the only reason that I picked it up initially was because I saw a post Stephanie had made in a group we were in together about Game Chat playing Night in the Woods, and it looked interesting and it looked like I wasn't gonna immediately die, so I picked it up. And 20 hours later, when I finished the game, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I immediately wanted to text all my friends and tell them how much I love them and how important they were to me and how I was sorry that I didn't spend more time with them. The game really changed the way I thought about what my responsibilities were as a friend, what power friends can have in each other's lives. More than just companionship, you often make the difference between how somebody's life goes one way or the other. So thank you, Steph, for sharing stuff that Game Chat does, because even for people that aren't in Game Chat, you're opening up avenues for them to find stories that speak to their hearts.
All right, and that was Madeline's top 5. And for the overall top, I guess, third game, and that was voted on as the group, is a 2-way tie, and these each got 4 votes each. And again, in no particular order, we have What Remains of Edith Finch and Life is Strange.
Nice. Nice. So, yeah. 2 top choices.
Yes. And next up now is Monzo.
So my top 5 my top 5 is derived from I only played about 7-8 games with Game Chat before work schedules changed and I was unavailable forever. So my top 5, my number 5 is To the Moon. I know it's received a ton of acclaim from everyone else, so there's not much I need to say about it. It just, it didn't hold my attention. I never finished it. Womp womp. I don't know if I didn't get to the good part before I stopped playing or what, but I still had fun while I was playing, and it definitely deserves a revisit from me. My number four, which no one will agree with, is White Knight.
What? And yes, this was the game that none of us finished.
This is the game nobody finished but me. And that's that's because I was just super stubborn and I was wanting to finish it. And it was glitchy as all get out. There was no reason for things to happen the way they did. I had to consult more than one walkthrough to get through the game, which, you know, back in the day, that was a thing. But I think nowadays, if you have to consult walkthroughs, it might be a matter of bad design. Anyway, the reason it's on this list is just because we had that shared when we all discussed this game. Everyone was in unison that this should have never been picked. It should have never been played. It was a big mistake. But, you know, we did it together, and that was cool. My number three is Transistor. I don't think I played Transistor with Game Chat, but I played it before. I really liked the how you could choose to do live action fighting versus the turn-based fighting. It was cool. Number two is Wolf Among Us. I really liked that narrative. That probably is my favorite Telltale game. The story was great. I don't know. I really liked it. And I do need to change my answer to the dog question. I'm a big fat liar. Because my favorite dog is from Undertale, which is my number one pick. Undertale is, I don't know, it is one of my favorite games. I only went through the game once. I need to go through it more. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you could have so many different endings, the fact that every fight, every boss fight, was so different and so varied, and there were so many things you could do to either, you know, fight or get out of the fight a certain way and defeat whoever by this alternate fighting technique, whatever. I don't know. It was really cool. And you know, your decisions let you have different endings. It was great. I loved Undertale. So my top dog in the Game Chat games is the Dog Guard. So much so nice. That the dog theme was my my ringtone for a while. So every time my phone went off, people were like, oh, you played Undertale? Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
But yeah.
Now were you the one that jumped back into Undertale as we were talking about it on the chat? So I remember there was someone that while we were talking about it, it was like, oh, that wasn't the ending.
Yeah, so I didn't know that for the ending I got, it wasn't the ending. I didn't know that you were, you know, I don't want to spoil things, but I didn't know the end wasn't the end. And yeah. My mind was totally blown. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what? So as we were talking about it, I was playing through the actual ending or the end of the ending.
We were experiencing the ending along with you again.
Yes.
Yeah. And then fun fact too is Undertale is what brought the whole dog comments to the surface there. Mm-hmm. It has been kind of an ongoing, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to say joke or running joke or something, but it's, you know, ever since Undertale, it's been going on since then. So
we'll say it's a quality check.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just call it a quality check of dog proportion.
Yeah. Okay. And next up is Franco.
Yo. First of all, sitting listening to this conversation, it's like I'm regretting all my choices. But first, I want to give a big shout out to Steph and everybody else involved in Game Chat. I think this was it's such a wonderful thing that get the exposure that I've gotten to all these different variety of games through Game Chat has been nothing short of spectacular. It's games that I probably would have never been exposed to normally. So I just want to thank the group for that.
Same, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. And picking five was really tough. And I think I suffered from a little of immediacy and alpha and looking at the list. And it's like, when Chris posted, on the website, some more stuff that we played, I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, jeez, I forgot about that one. It's like, oh my God.
Exact same thing.
It's like, oh, Lord. But I mean, it speaks well for the group that I think I could easily, spitball and say at least 85% of the games we've played have been way above average as a gaming experience. Mm-hmm. I think they've all been, the vast majority have been excellent games. Mm-hmm. So that speaks well for the group, I think. But anyway, my number five, Blackwood Crossing.
Oh,
that was,
yeah.
That was more, it's that story. I mean, it was a little clunky at times, but the story was really intriguing and the mystery and you wanted to get to the bottom of things. So that struck me. And then, same along those lines was, my number four was What Remains of Edith Finch, which, was graphically very good. And the story was, right up there. So that struck me, that stayed in my mind, I guess, sort of. Then of course the one of the crowd favorites, and how could you not, Night in the Woods was my number three, more for dialogue and story and interaction. And I would have to say this was probably a tie for first, but you have to put one in front of the other. So my second was To the Moon, for all the reasons stated. I mean, such an incredible story that you could have done that on pencil and paper, and it still would have been a good experience.
Yeah.
And my number one was, I think I don't know if it was the first one I started with, but it was still probably their best effort. Telltale Walking Dead Season 1, a game where you didn't want to make that last choice. You just wanted to set the controller down and never turn it off the game console. It's like, I don't want to make this choice.
Yeah.
So that's primarily why it rose to the top for me. But all the other games mentioned, like, oh my God, Valiant Hearts, Oxenfree. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what a great selection. And it's been nothing but a pleasure playing these games with you people.
Aw. Yeah. You too, Frank. Back at you, buddy.
So the number two overall game, I'm kind of surprised that this didn't make it to number one. I was kind of expecting this one to be, in the number one spot.
Mm-hmm.
But the number two game overall game is To the Moon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what's number one now. Yeah. Really interesting.
So, I mean, with number one and two.
No, Monzo.
It's totally observer. Totally observer.
Yeah. Now, with one and two, it does make sense where they are, but I'm kind of surprised with the order that they were in. So.
Okay.
All right. So next up is Kevin.
It was kind of hard picking a top five. Like,
yeah.
I would have easily been able to do a top 10, which is why I have more than a few honorable mentions. But I'll start with number five, which I put as Aviary Attorney, which was
Yes, that was another one. Yeah,
Yeah. It was just a really fun game. It had all those great puns in it. It had those hands that disturbed her so much. that he set his avatar as the hands for a period of time. I didn't get the I didn't get around to finishing playing through to get the alternate ending, because there's like the few couple of endings where you can have a main character completely flip on you in a way that's like, oh wow, that's unexpected. I just really enjoyed it, especially the art. My number four is Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. Was really fun game. It was a little bit of a slog to get through, because you had to walk everywhere. Take the train. But I enjoyed all the stories of it. I was one of the few to actually completely finish it. It was just a really fun game. I think the way that the narration for the stories was done was one of the big points in the game.
Yeah, it's true.
My number three is Trackless, which I've put in so many hours into. Not really because of the game itself. The game itself you can get really. I just enjoy kind of fiddling around with the world and doing a bunch of crazy stuff in it, because it just is, I wouldn't really call it a walking sim. I guess I would count it as a pilgrimage simulator, if that's even a thing. But yeah, it just allows a lot of introspection. And I was one of the people that backed the game when it was on Fig. And it didn't come out to be the game that I was expecting it to be, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. My number two game is To the Moon, which I think was one of the first games I ended up ever crying while playing. Not tears of frustration because of the game. Calls back to Ori and the Blind Forest. But it was a really good game. I related a lot to the wife, I forget what her name is, and I thought the writing was really well done. I think the representation of the Asperger's autism sort of was done really well. It wasn't used in the best way, but it was more of a MacGuffin way, but it still was really good. Before I do my number one, I'll do my honorable mentions, which was Papers, Please, The Fall, and The Stanley Parable. The Papers, Please, and Stanley Parable last, and The Fall, because it was one of those other games that kind of got to me emotionally, AI in it. And then my number one game would have to be, or is, Night in the Woods. For all the reasons that everybody's pretty much mentioned already. I relate a lot to May with some of the stuff that she's going through in the game. And then I just really love a lot of the jokes and stuff in the game. Mm-hmm. Especially especially the conversations that she ends up having with Greg and her mother.
Mm-hmm. With dialogue is so good in that game.
Yeah.
Yules.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be my top five.
Awesome.
All right. So the last two people, they've been with us for, I don't think they were at the very beginning, but they've been with us for a while.
Yeah.
They unfortunately weren't able to make it or record something. So I'll just read off their top five here. So the first one is Michelle, and her top five, starting at number five, is What Remains of Edith Finch, the Stanley Parable, Franbo, Orwell, Ignorance is Strength, and number one, Night in the Woods.
Nice.
And then for Mason, or Cheeser, so his five through to one is What Remains of Edith Finch, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Life is Strange, Night in the Woods, and Life is Strange Before the Storm as his number one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. So, and then for the overall top, the first number one game of games that Game Chat has played from the very beginning in 2016 till now in 2018 is Night in the Woods.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I'm happy with that.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't I guess they have to play it now.
Jonathan, you haven't played Night in the Woods?
No.
Jonathan, you were kicked out of the group.
I was just going to say your membership is on probation.
Escort Jonathan out, please.
I hadn't played it, and Madeline gifted the game to me to play it.
Oh, nice.
And then I played it through.
Hey, Christmas is coming up.
Twice I played it through.
Yeah.
I still need to play it through a couple more times.
Yeah.
Alternate.
I mean, if you guys care that much, I'll put it on my Steam wish list.
Yeah,
you totally should, Bonzo.
And they just released a expansion or something
I need to.
Yeah, they added in a few more just story bits and elements and something.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, this has been the top five games Game Chat has played so far. I think when we do this again next year, it'll probably be a lot easier because we won't have 3 years worth of games to pick from.
Yeah.
So,
and let me just say that a big thank you to Chris Danton for pulling all this together.
Oh, yes.
It's been a very fun evening. And Chris pulled it together all pretty much mostly by himself. Yes. So major props. And then also, you know, we have Craig, our intern here,
to Craig,
who Chris pulled in to help us with our recording. he's a bot, but he doesn't. So Craig's doing a good job. Thank you, Craig.
Judgmental of you, Steph.
Thank you, Craig. So, Craig has some laryngitis, or else he would hear to respond back. So, thank you, Chris.
So if you're listening to this when this was released, this has been released Christmas Day 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So since we're not doing an actual chat on Christmas or New Year's Eve, I figured this would be a nice little show or chat to throw in there to kind of just as a bonus there for your Christmas present or Hanukkah gift or whatever you celebrate at the end of the year.
So, Merry Kwanzaa, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy Festivus.
Yes.
Happy Festivus. Yeah.
So, ho, ho, ho.
Happy everything, guys.
So if you did enjoy this chat, we would like to hear your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can email us at chat with us at thegamechat.net.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also online with a nice, spiffy looking website that Chris Bowden hasn't seen in years. And that's thegamechat.net. We're also on Twitter, which I don't remember what the...
Twitter is the_game_chat.
Okay. And then we're also on Instagram, which I think is just the game chat.
The game chat. Yeah.
So that's all the places you could find us. We're also on Facebook in there somewhere. So,
and our recordings are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
That's right. So yeah, that's been the game chat top five games so far. And I guess we will all see everyone else back here January 8th while we play Hellblade Setsuna's Sacrifice.
And we're finishing up Forgotten Nan tomorrow on Tuesday. Well,
as of this recording, it's in tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. The illusion's broken. We're not recording live at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, my God.
We're playing live from Game Chat Studios.
I mean, I totally forgot, guys. We did that last week. It's all good.
Broadcasting live from Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how was it?
Yeah. So
Forgotten. It was great.
Yes, it was fantastic game.
That ending. Wow. Yeah. So many dogs.
Yes. Everywhere, coming out of all the corners and everything. All right. That's been the chat, and we will all see you in a week. So, or 2 weeks, actually, because we won't have an episode next week.
Right.
Right.
Bye.
Happy festivals.
Bye. Bye.